Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. Once again, time for another edition of the Houston AmSat Net. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1588. And it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, November the 19th, 2024, which in UTC time is Wednesday, November the 20th at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145 Peter in West Houston. The PL tone is 123.0, and I will now take local check-ins. Okay, sounds like folks are busy up there this evening. But we'll take another check here about halfway through the hour, and we'll see if we've got any local check-ins here off the repeater. Let's see, we're going to start with a little bit of information from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. They did have their launch there from the Boy Scout Jamboree with the W5BSA balloon, and been doing quite well. It's on its, I guess, finishing its second lap around the world, fixing to go on its third. But Walter put out a little projection for us, and it sort of looks like it's just kind of out wandering around out there out by Hawaii at the time being. So we'll wait and see. Gets a little bit closer to land, and hopefully we'll get some more beacons out of it. So we'll just have to wait and see. Of course, the South Texas Balloon Launch Team holds their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon here in a restaurant in Houston. And then at 8 p.m. Central Time, they have a meeting there on Zoom, and that's at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter putting that on. And so anybody can check in there, listen in on the goings-on there for the South Texas Balloon Launch Team.
BL-123.
Okay, we're going to switch over to ANS Bulletins. And let's see, this is ANS Bulletin 315. And see, this is from Paul Stotzer. Okay, the AmSat News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AmSat, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators. We shared active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating to analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And a news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AmSat News Service Bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, we want to remind everybody that you can call and make a quick phone check-in to the Houston AmSat Net. The number is 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message, and that's to West Virginia 5 Yankee. That's WV5Y with no dashes, no numbers, as Andy's like to say. And you can also send an email, and that's to WV5Y@comcast.net. Okay, AmSat Oscar 7, 50th anniversary, a test bed for saving lives. As we observe AmSat Oscar 7's, Oscar 7, 50th anniversary is the oldest operating satellite, we should recall what may be its most noteworthy accomplishment. Oscar 7 was used to investigate the possibility of locating downed aircraft and disabled sea vessels by using Doppler analysis from emergency location transmitters, or ELTs. As envisioned by spacecraft engineers from the United States and Russia, the concept was to relay signals from beacon devices, ELTs, or emergency location transmitters already installed on large and small aircraft and on ships and smaller vessels equipped with EPIRBs, or Emergency Position Indicating Radio Beacon Stations. These one-way beacon transmitters, originally intended to be received by surface rescue parties, could also be received and transponded by a LEO spacecraft, greatly extending the rescue potential. The signals could also be Doppler-tracked one way by processing the beacon uplink signal on board the spacecraft. This would allow the spacecraft to find the source beacon's location immediately. This would allow the emergency beacon to be identified and located and the position stored for immediate downlink at the next available ground station. We know it is hard to remember, but this was in an era before the creation of GPS. Scientists from the Russian COSPAS, Russian acronym for Space System for the Search of Vessels in Distress, and the U.S. SARSAT, or Search and Rescue Satellite Teams, simulated ELTs on amateur radio stations and demonstrated how receiving and relaying ELT transmissions and analyzing Doppler shift as Oscar 7 passed overhead could accurately locate the emergency beacons. The tests were highly successful. The COSPAS SARSAT program went ahead and has been operational since 1982. From that time until 2021, and the program merged with others providing similar capability via low Earth orbit, medium Earth orbit, and geostationary spacecraft, the program had saved the lives of 57,413 persons in 17,663 separate rescue events involving downed aircraft and ships at sea. And we want to thank Jan King, W3GEY, AmSat AO7 Project Manager, for that information. And we want to make a little quick correction here. This is ANS Bulletin number 322, and this is actually by Mitch Ehrenstorf. And looks like we actually didn't get this week's ANS Bulletin in the email, so we had to jump over here and get it another route. So that's fine. And so we are bringing it to you and just making sure it is the right one. So, of course, the AmSat News Service weekly bulletins are available on the front page of www.amsat.org. be another batch of CubeSat SIM kits available soon in the AmSat store. A new batch of 15 CubeSat SIM kits will be available for purchase in the AmSat store Wednesday, November the 20th at noon U.S. Eastern Time at 1700 UTC. Okay, they're priced at $400 with shipping included for U.S. addresses. The CubeSat SIM kit offers a hands-on learning experience with no soldering and some assembly, making it ideal for both educational use and public demonstrations. Okay, what do you get for that? Well, the CubeSat SIM kit includes fully assembled and tested printed circuit boards. You get a main, a solar, and a battery board. There's a Raspberry Pi Zero 2 with a Pi camera and fully programmed micro SD card, along with a fully programmed Raspberry Pi Pico WH. An AmSat logo removed before flight tag switch. The 3D printed frame, nylon screws and nuts with a mini screwdriver included for assembly. There are metal standoffs, stacking headers, and JST jumpers for stacking the printed circuit boards and the Pi Zero 2. There's 10 solar panels with pre-soldered JST connectors and mounting tape. There's the BME 280 sensor, which senses pressure, temperature, altitude, and humidity, and the MPU 6050 IMU gyro pre-soldered. And then there's 2 6-inch SMA coax cables and 2 SMA antennas. The kit also comes with an instruction sheet, parts inventory, and links to online instructions. Assembly time is estimated to be under 2 hours with scissors and the provided mini screwdriver. The version 2.0 CubeSat SIM features improvements over version 1.2, such as an FM transceiver, Raspberry Pi Pico microcontroller, and RF command and control using DTMF or APRS packets. It can also be modified to function as a 500 milliwatt high altitude balloon payload.
BL-123.
For those interested in creating their own CubeSat SIM, version 2.0 blank PCB sets are available at the AmSat store for $35. These require additional components, of course, which can be purchased for approximately $300 using the provided bill of materials. Okay, there's some additional resources, and they include the kit instructions, which you can check out at cubesatsim.org/kit. There's kit videos, which are at cubesatsim.org/kit-videos. There's a discussion forum, and that's over at github.com/AlanBJohnston/CubeSatSim/discussions. And a quick start guide, and that's at cubesatsim.org/QST. For more information or to borrow a loaner CubeSat SIM simulator, you can contact Alan Johnston, AmSat VP Educational Relations, at ku2y@awrl.net. And we appreciate Bruce making these URLs for us available. So if you want to go check these out without figuring out what I'm saying and then typing them in, you can just go over to www.amsatnet.com, which is our website, and he's made them, the links available in tonight's document. So we appreciate that there by Bruce. Okay, if you'd like to order a CubeSat SIM kit, the kits will be sold exclusively on the AmSat store website. Only U.S. shipping addresses are eligible. Orders with non-U.S. addresses will be refunded and closed. About CubeSat SIM, CubeSat SIM is a low-cost satellite emulator powered by solar panels and batteries. It transmits UHF radio telemetry and can be expanded with additional sensors and modules, making it ideal for educational and public demonstrations. Okay, we want to thank Alan Johnston, KU2Y, AMSAT Vice President of Educational Relations, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. We're just a little past, quarter past the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby and take a look around and see who we've had checking in via some of our other means. Okay, let's see, we heard from Charlie, K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston. And it sounds like he's doing good over there. Of course, we watched the Starship launch, the sixth Starship test, which that went very well today. They did not manage to catch the booster on the chopsticks on the arms, but it landed out in the ocean, and so did the Starship. So it actually looked like they got a lot of information, and it was a successful test. Okay, we also have Andrew, KC5LWI. He's down there in Galveston, and he called and checked in via the phone line, so we appreciate that. Let's see, we've got Kai, N6ZZO. He's in McKinleyville, California, and he's one of our podcast listeners, and he calls and checks in there, so we appreciate when he does that. Quickly here, we're checking for APRS check-ins. Doesn't look like we have any. Let's see. From IRC, we have AK0A, Ken, KG4OZW, Clay, KG4WIJ, Brian, NZ9T, Renee, and KAWX, Bob. Say good evening there to Clay, KG4OZW, and also to Rachy. Okay, then from Echolink, we've got Bob, K9OIM. We have Mitch, AD0HJ. He's up there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, he does the Wednesday night AmSatNet, so be sure and check that out. And that happens over on DMR, on the Digital AmSat Talk Group of 98006, or on YSF Fusion 11689. And that happens at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So be sure and check into the Wednesday night AmSatNet. And over there on DMR, and say hello to Mitch. Okay, we've got Steve, KA5YFC, checking in. Also, Damien, AG9P, in Oconto, Wisconsin. Good evening to him. We got Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest. We got Indoff, N6UTC. He's over there in Long Beach, California. And then we've got WD0AKO. And we appreciate him checking in as well. And so he's been listening there for a long time. Appreciate those check-ins. Okay, let's see. Once again, the number, if you'd like to call and check into the net, it's 713-467-9870 for a quick phone check-in. And you can also send an email to wv5y@comcast.net and an APRS message to wv5y, no dashes, no numbers. And we want to thank Dale, WD0AKO, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. Does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. We have had to use the backup in the past, so we appreciate that. And also, thanks to Vern, WA0RCR, for retransmitting our net on the top band from Wentzville, Missouri, on 1.860 MHz, full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time. So appreciate Vern doing that for us. All right, the 2024 MSAT President's Club coins are still around. They're here now, so you can help support golf and Fox Plus. And won't be too much longer. We'll be moving off of these and on to the 2025. So you might want to get them and fill in your collection while they're still available. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. That's by going over to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club.
This is...
WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. For the first time, SpaceX's Dragon spacecraft successfully raised the orbit of the International Space Station by firing its thrusters. The orbit boost marks a significant milestone in Dragon's capabilities and comes as part of SpaceX's 31st commercial resupply mission to the ISS. The mission, which launched on November the 4th, delivered a Dragon cargo vehicle, which docked with the station on November the 8th. The vehicle conducted an orbit-raising maneuver, stabilizing the ISS position in low Earth orbit.
DL-123.
Orbit-raising maneuvers are a routine for the ISS, which requires regular boosts to counteract orbital decay caused by Earth's gravity. Until now, this task has been handled mainly by Russia's Soyuz and Progress vehicles, alongside occasional boosts from other spacecraft. With Dragon now performing such maneuvers, the U.S. spacecraft has added a critical capability, especially significant as NASA prepares for the eventual decommissioning of the ISS. Data gathered from today's maneuver will aid in the development of SpaceX's future ISS deorbit vehicle, known as the U.S. deorbit vehicle, which NASA has contracted to guide the station into the Pacific Ocean upon its retirement. Reboost began at approximately 12:50 p.m. Eastern Time, or 17:50 UTC, and lasted around 12 and a half minutes, elevating the station's orbit slightly. Quick check in there from Vern, WA0RCR, off the phone lines. So, of course, we appreciate him transmitting our net on 1860 kilohertz, and that's on AM at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central on Saturdays. All right, let's see, back to the reboost of the ISS. Let's see, NASA monitored the reboost closely and shared updates on social media platform X, noting the Dragon's performance in its first orbit-raising task was a good demonstration of its growing capabilities. SpaceX intends to apply the maneuver's data toward the design of the planned U.S. deorbit vehicle scheduled to be used once the ISS reaches the end of its operational lifespan. This recent success by Dragon is not the first instance of a U.S.-made spacecraft boosting the ISS. In 2022, NASA tested a similar maneuver using a Northrop Grumman Cygnus cargo vehicle. However, the data collected from Dragon's maneuver holds unique importance as it directly informs the planning of the ISS-controlled deorbit mission. The spacecraft, which has been continuously occupied for nearly 25 years, is expected to remain operational until around 2030, when the costs and maintenance demands of the aging structure will likely lead to its retirement. And I think the Russians are planning on leaving maybe around 2028, so of course that remains to be seen. The ISS's eventual decommissioning aligns with NASA's shift towards commercial partnerships in low Earth orbit. The agency envisions that new privately operated space stations will replace the ISS as research outposts, enabling NASA to focus its budget on deeper space exploration, including the Artemis program's return to the moon. With the ISS contract awarded to SpaceX, the agency has placed its trust in the private sector to develop the technology needed to safely conclude the station's mission in a controlled manner. The success of Dragon's reboost maneuver also underscores the U.S.'s reduced reliance on Russian spacecraft to maintain ISS operations, despite global political tensions, notably since Russia's 2022 invasion of Ukraine. The U.S.-Russian partnership on the ISS has persisted. However, Dragon's demonstrated ability to perform reboosts offers NASA an alternative if needed. Since Dragon began launching U.S. astronauts in 2020, SpaceX has provided NASA with a reliable launch option from American soil and now has proven capable of supporting the station's orbit, a role essential to the ISS's long-term stability. Okay, we want to thank Josh Deer, space.com, for that information. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. And let's see, we're right at the bottom of the hour. So we're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to see if we have any local check-ins on the 145.19W5BSA repeater. CQ Quantum Tech arrives at the ISS for a groundbreaking demo. Space Entanglement and Annealing Quantum Experiment, or CQ, has officially arrived at the International Space Station, delivered aboard NASA's SpaceX CRS-31 mission. The SpaceX Dragon capsule docked with the ISS on November the 4th, carrying over 6,000 pounds of scientific investigations and cargo, including CQ, planned for installation on the NanoRax Bishop airlock. CQ represents an important step forward in building a global quantum communications network. Quantum computers promise computation speeds that are exponentially faster than conventional computers, and distributed quantum sensors may lead to new understandings of Earth and our place in the universe by measuring minute changes in gravity. However, to fully harness these abilities, a dedicated communication network must be established, capable of linking quantum computers and sensors regardless of their location. CQ's experiment aims to prove the viability of orbiting nodes that can securely transmit and receive quantum data to and from the ground via free space optical communications. A cornerstone of CQ's mission is to test an integrated source of entangled photons, a critical requirement for secure quantum data transmission. Entangled photons are uniquely interconnected, where measuring one instantly influences the other, regardless of distance. This property enables potential data transmission that is secure and extremely difficult to intercept. Unlike prior quantum experiments that used bulk optics, CQ utilizes a waveguide-based photon source. This innovation is more compact, efficient, and resilient, eliminating the need for manual optical realignment post-launch. CQ will demonstrate a new and never-before-flown entanglement source based on integrated optics, said Paul Kuwait, principal investigator at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. He emphasized that the technology is pivotal for scalable global networks, as manual adjustments would be impractical when managing hundreds of quantum nodes spread across continents. Macon Moegig, CQ co-investigator from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, or the JPL, reinforced that CQ's success would pave the way for future widespread quantum networks. An added element of CQ's demonstration involves testing its ability to self-heal from radiation damage, a persistent challenge in space. High-energy particles can impair the detectors that receive quantum signals, causing noise and eventually failure. CQ will employ a bright laser to periodically repair such damage using a technique known as annealing. This process has shown success on the ground, bubbling away defects and reducing noise to extend detector life. The CQ mission reflects a truly international effort, including experts and students from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, the University of Waterloo in Ontario, Canada, and the National University of Singapore, and commercial partners such as ADVR Incorporated, and NanoRex. Funded by NASA's Biological and Physical Sciences Division, CQ is expected to drive breakthroughs in secure quantum communications, establishing a foundation for future advancements in long-distance data sharing. And we want to thank the NASA JPL, or the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, for that information.
BL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AmSat store. And then when you purchase through AmSat, you get a bit of a discount. A portion of the proceeds also goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Okay, we have some changes to the AmSat North America TLE distribution for November 15th, 2024. And two line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. New bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And you can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, we're sorry to see Binar 2 going. It's being removed from this week's AmSat TLE distribution. And that's Binar 2, NORAD Catalog ID 60956. It decayed from orbit on or about the 9th of November, 2024. And we want to thank the AmSat Orbital Elements page for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen in to the action is on 145.800 MHz worldwide. Okay, we've got some completed contacts. We've got the Bishop O'Connell High School in Arlington, Virginia, telebridge via VK4 ISS with call sign on the ISS of NA1SS. They talked to crew member Nick Haig. The AS Mentor was AA6TB, and the contact was successful Friday, 11/15/2024 at 18:06:21 UTC. And it looks like there was a live stream on YouTube over for that one. And then there's the Cottam Scouts in Cottam, Ontario, Canada, telebridge via IK1SLD. The ISS call sign was OR4ISS. Scheduled crew member was Sunita Williams, KB5PLB. The AS Mentor was VE6JBJ. And the contact was successful Saturday, 11/16/2024 at 18:17:04 UTC. Okay, there's the Erie Migration District School in Kingsville, Ontario, Canada, telebridge via IK1SLD. The ISS call sign was OR4ISS. scheduled crew members, Shanita Williams, KB5PLB, Eris Minter, it was VE6JBJ, and the contact, Monday, 11/18/2024 at 1641-47 UTC. Okay, then there's the Aznakovsky District, RESP Tatarstan, Russia, direct with scheduled ISS call sign, RS0ISS. Scheduled crew member is Ivan Wagner. Eris Minter is RV3DR. And the contact is Tuesday, 11/19/2024 at 1605 UTC.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, then a couple of contacts. There are three of them here that are coming up. We've got the Center for the Development of Children and Youth Creativity in the city of Pugachev, Saratov region, Russia, direct. Scheduled ISS call sign, scheduled to be RS0ISS with crew member Alexei Ovchinin. And the Eris Mentor is RV3DR. Contact is Wednesday, 11/20/2024 at 1515 UTC. Okay, then there's a contact you can listen in on if you're in Portugal, the Escola Secundaria Rafael Bordalo Pinheiro, Caldas de Rinha, Portugal, direct via CS5SS. This is call sign, scheduled to be OR4ISS. The crew member is Don Petit, KD5MTD, MDT, and the Eris Mentor is IK0USO. Contact is a go. Friday, 11/22/2024 at 1637.40 UTC. Okay, then there's the Amur State University in Bangladesh, Russia, direct. The ISS call sign is presently scheduled to be RS0ISS. Scheduled crew member is Alex Gorbanov. The Eris Mentor is RV3DR, and the contact is a go. Thursday, 11/21/2024 at 11/25 UTC. Okay, the crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a PL tone of 67, and you listen on 437.800 MHz down. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen, you just never know. And the Eris SSTV Series 22 event is now finished. It went from Monday, 11/11/2024 at 11:50 UTC to Monday, 11/18/2024 at 1600 UTC. As always, if there is an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the Eris radios are turned off on the ISS as part of the safety protocol. Note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed times. Okay, you can find the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS, and that's over at www.eris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html, and the latest list of frequencies in use on the ISS can be found at www.eris.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARIS operation team mentors for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. I want to remind everybody that our website addresses, you can go over to www.amsatnet.com and you can see the links that we're discussing. And also, you can find some good satellite award information over there that Bruce has put up there. So if you'd like to get awards or get some certificates for working satellite contacts, he can show you how to do that. And that's over at amsatnet.com. And there's more of that over at amsat.org, as well as there is the operational status of the satellites and the frequencies that they're operating on, their uplink and downlink, and their beacon telemetry frequencies. And there's also information about next year's symposium when decisions have been made on that. And then also, there's the AMSAT store where you can actually log in and buy things like satellite antennas. So we appreciate when people do that, and it helps keep amateur radio up in space.
BL-123.
Okay, we're about to the end of this year's list of AMSAT ambassador activities. AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, ham fests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And Ambassador AMSAT Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, "Think a 75-minute presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event? Let me know by emailing me at k6lcsclint@gmail.com. We're calling 909-999-SATS, which is 7287. Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of the 150-plus presentations he's given so far has been customized and tailored to his audiences. Okay, they have one event listed. And that's in February of next year, February 20th through the 22nd, 2025. And that's in Yuma, Arizona. And that's the Yuma HamCon. And you should be able to see W1UW there. And I want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, Director of AMSAT Ambassador Program, for that information. Hey, you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And if you'd like to go over there, the URL is www.zazzle.com/AMSAT_gear. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. We're down to satellite shorts from all over. So SpaceX is set for its sixth Starship test flight on November the 18th, which actually got put back till today, November the 19th, about 4 p.m. Central Time. It was a lovely flight. They marked their first mission without regulatory delays following FAA approval for both Flight 5 and 6. Flight 6 will be similar to Flight 5, including a suborbital launch and splashdown of the upper stage in the Indian Ocean, with a key difference being an attempted relight of a Raptor engine during coast in space, revisiting a goal from Flight 3, and that was successfully undertaken today. Test also included new experiments with the thermal protection system, including sections without heat shield tiles to gather data on ship catching configurations. SpaceX aims to catch the Super Heavy booster again, which they aborted, making improvements to its propulsion and structural systems after facing near failures and unexpected damage in Flight 5. Launch will depart in the afternoon to achieve a daylight splashdown on the other side of the world into the Indian Ocean, which it did, while testing higher angles of descent to simulate future landing profiles. And they did. They tipped that sucker over so that the nose cone was tilted slightly down and flew in that configuration for a little bit before it relit and stood back up and then landed into the ocean. Flight 6 will conclude the Block 1 version of Starship with upgraded features planned for Flight 7 as SpaceX targets a faster launch cadence to support future NASA missions and lunar landings. And A&S thanks Spaceflight Now for that information. Okay, NASA's Parker Solar Probe recently completed its seventh and final flyby of Venus, setting it on a course to approach within 3.8 million miles of the Sun's surface, closer than any human-made object in history. This maneuver, crucial for tightening the probe's orbit, marks a significant step in its mission to study solar mysteries, such as the Sun's extremely hot corona, described by Noor Rafi as almost landing on a star, and compared to the 1969 moon landing, the achievement underscores its importance to humanity. The spacecraft's gravity assist from Venus have not only propelled it closer to the Sun, but also provided unique data about Venus itself, revealing surface features through its whisper camera and unexpected details like potential chemical differences. During the most recent flyby, Parker came within 233 miles of Venus's surface further study these surface properties. On December the 24th, the probe will achieve its closest solar encounter, reaching a speed of 430,000 miles per hour, with Mission Control anticipating confirmation of its success by December the 27th. ANS thanks space.com for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Ariane Space has announced that the second flight of Europe's Ariane 6 rocket, its first commercial mission, has been rescheduled from December 2024 to no earlier than mid-February 2025. The mission will carry the CSO-3 reconnaissance satellite to the French military and marks the first Ariane 6 launch to be overseen by Ariane Space. Initially expected to launch in December following the Vega C rocket's return to flight, the schedule changed after analysis of an issue during the Ariane 6's debut in July. The delay stemmed from a temperature measurement anomaly that prevented the upper stage's auxiliary power unit, or the APU, from starting, now corrected with a software update. Both the rocket's core and upper stages are still in production and are set to be transported soon to French Guiana for launch preparation. Ariane Space has assured that this delay will not impact future missions, with plans to conduct 6 Ariane 6 launches in 2025. And we want to thank Space News for that information. Okay, and AST Space Mobile has recently deployed 5 massive Bluebird satellites in low Earth orbit, each with a world-breaking 693 square foot communications array, marking the start of the company's space-based cellular network. These satellites are brighter than most objects in the night sky, presenting significant challenges for astronomers by obstructing observations. AST aims to establish the first cellular broadband network directly accessible by cell phones, with plans to expand its constellation to over 100 satellites. The rapid increase in large satellites like those of AST and competitors such as SpaceX and Amazon has raised concerns about space debris and environmental impact. A group of experts has urged the FCC to reconsider satellite environmental exemptions, fearing an irreversibly clutter of space. This surge in satellite launches is not only reshaping communication, but also sparking debate on preserving the accessibility of space for scientific exploration. And we want to thank Gizmodo for that information.
DL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Well, you can join AMSAT today, and you can do that by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate. And post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available also for annual and lifetime terms. And you can just contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 73, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And this week's ANS editor is Mitch Ahrensdorf, 80HJ, and that's MAHRENSTORFF at amsat.org. Okay, I want to remind everybody that the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, or AMSAT, resides at 712 H Street, NE, Suite 1653, Washington, D.C., 20002. And you can also contact them by going to info or sending an email to info@amsat.org.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, well, it was nice to see SpaceX's Starship launch number 6. This 6th test was successful. Look forward to more in the future. So everybody out there, keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts. And we look forward to catching everybody next week. So we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AmSatNet. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, MUV5Y. We say 7-3 from this week from the Houston AmSatNet.